In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all Saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we are focusing today on the image and likeness of God, and through holy baptism, we enter God's image. And scripture says, Jesus said, be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. And the saints have always said, well, how do we do this? We're trying our best. We're mortifying ourselves. We are sacrificing. We're, you know, martyrdoms. How do we enter into this oneness with God? 2,000 years later, Jesus teaches us how this is done. And it's through Luisa. How this is going to happen is to begin to live this abundant life is what God is asking of us through Luisa Picaretta. So it's a great thing. It's a wonderful thing that God is showing us. The more that we learn this, the sooner the kingdom's coming. So in volume 16:9-6, 1923, in fact, Jesus says, do you want to know why Adam sinned? Because Adam forgot that I loved him. And Adam forgot to love me. You know, that's where we are today. Pope St. John Paul II said he, in the 80s, he wanted every parish to have Eucharistic adoration. A priest said, asked me once, why didn't I know about this? And I said, it's a secret. It's hidden. And he goes, why is it a secret? Why is it hidden? Why doesn't everybody know about it? I said, well, let's look at the secrets. He was born in Bethlehem. Everybody knew he was going to be born in Bethlehem, but no priest showed up. No religious showed up, just the shepherds and the wise men. And then you look at the secret of our Blessed Mother. She says, pray the rosary, wear the scapular, attend First Saturdays. Who does that? Then the great secret is our Lord in the Eucharist. Jesus is present in every tabernacle in the Catholic Church. Body, blood, soul, and the divinity. That candle, that flame next to the tabernacle says, he's here. The churches are empty. What God loves, he keeps hidden. And it's for those souls who want to be with him, who leave their comfort to spend time with our prisoner of love, our Eucharistic Lord. It's for those who want to please Our Lady, want to be marked by Our Lady. And they're the ones that pray the rosary, wear the scapular, and attend First Saturday Masses. How can you be marked by Our Lady and not do that? We have to understand God's going to give us what we want, 36 or 100 fold. Most people are happy with 1%. That's enough for me. I got to do what I want to do. Do you know why Adam sinned? Because he forgot that I loved him. We have forgotten that God loves us. He's in every Catholic church and the churches are empty. And he forgot to love me. We forget to love God. And it's not, when you're in front of the monstrance, it's not to read a book. You know, people say to you, well, I want to read the divine will. That's okay. You can read the divine will, but you have to look at Jesus. Look at him. He's looking at you. He's falling more and more in love with you as God, the infinite love. We're receiving it more and more. And he's asking us, do you love me? I mean, the question to Peter is the question to us. Do you love me more than these? Do you love me more than your family? That you would be willing to spend time with me? Do you love me more than your neighbors or your coworkers or even your parishioners? That question, he wants us to respond. So what he has done is he's given us the divine will. He's given us the book of heaven and he's asking us, are you willing to begin to live this abundant life? Jesus says, not only did he forgot that I loved him, he forgot to love me. And not only this, but true love toward each other, towards other creatures ceased. To love God with your whole mind, your whole heart, all your strength, and to love your neighbor as you love yourself. Ceased. While I created Adam with the same love that reigned among the three divine persons, by which one was to be the image of the other, the divine happiness, the divine joy, the divine life of the other. God breathes this life in us. And that's what he's been doing since he has given us the book of heaven. He's breathing and we are experiencing this little by little. And the more that we experience it, the more that we want, the more that he in us wants for us. Volume 16, 9, 14, 1923. My daughter, this was precisely the purpose for which I, God, created Adam. That Adam would always revolve around me. These are the rounds. These are the rounds to adore God, to love God, to praise God, to thank God, to glorify God, to worship God. What a great life. This is heaven on earth. And I, like a sun being the center of his round, would reflect him in my divine light, my divine love, my divine likeness, and all my divine happiness. This is what's happening. As we get closer to the Lord, he can't find anybody. When we get closer to the Lord, especially in the divine will, he just says, I want to share this with all humanity. Will you stand in the breach as Moses stood in the breach for the Israelites? But will you stand in the breach for all mankind to get them ready for the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven? And when we say, yes, Lord, he goes, good. Prove it. He's always saying that to us. Oh, I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. I love you. Prove it. Prove it. So what is the Lord asking of us? He's asking us to trust in him, to believe in him, to hope in him, to have confidence in him and him alone. He says, and I, like a sun being at the center of his round, would reflect him in my divine light, my divine love, my divine likeness, all my divine happiness at each round. And that's what we're going to learn. We're going to learn how to pray the rounds. In each round of his, I, God, would give him ever new contentments, ever new beauty, and ever more burning arrows of love. We've seen the image of St. Catherine of Siena, St. Teresa of Avila, being wounded by the angels with the arrows of love. This is what God wants to begin to do with us. Wound us with arrows of love. This ecstasy of love is what he wants us to enter into. So what has he done? He's given us the book of heaven. And as we read this, as we study this, as we put this into practice, everything in our life changes. Everything in our life changes. And what God is doing is he's beginning to show us, as he says, my light, my love, my likeness, my happiness. I want this to be yours. 5:16, 10:30, 1923. Don't you know that the soul who lives in my divine will must be filtered through this most pure light, must enter into this abundant light, this love, this life of God. He says, you must do this. That's why when I pray every time at the Holy Mass, at consecration, I pray for the souls who must live in God's holy divine will. Hopefully that's us. He says, he shows this. The soul lives in my divine will must be filtered through this most pure light. This filter, everything that is not of God leaves. And to be filtered is more than to be put under a press, because even though the press smashes everything into pieces, it lets everything out, skin and seed settle down to the bottom and leaves always something cloudy. On the other hand, when something is filtered, especially if it is filtered through the thick light, this living light of my divine will, there is no danger that it might deposit something cloudy. Rather, everything is clear. Everything is similar to the clearness of the divine light through which it has been filtered. See, God is a living light. You know, the light that we can see through it. I mean, you see the reflections of things far away because of light. God is a living, thick light that you can see through. But it's living and it's thick. It's not cloudy. He says, and that's what God is going to help us understand. This, everything is clear. Everything is similar to the clearness of the divine light through which it is filtered. So that's what God is doing as we're reading, as we're studying. He's filtering through us any worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity, sin, any doubts, any concerns. He's saying, I'm the Lord. I'll take care of it. Give it to me. That's what we do, especially yesterday and today. We surrender to the Sacred Heart of Jesus, the Immaculate Heart of Mary, all our concerns. We worried about our families. Give them to Jesus and Mary. You take them. Yeah, I was talking to somebody the other day and I said, you know, you're giving to God what is God's. And I said, okay, take this out of my hand. Take this. And as soon as they'd reach, I'd pull away. Take this out of my hand. And I pulled away. What does that mean? We're Indian givers. Oh Lord, it's yours, but I'm going to worry. Oh Lord, it's yours, but I'm going to be, No, stop it. Surrender to Jesus everything. Trust him. It's the final devotion he's giving to the church before he returns. Jesus, I trust in you. I trust in your mercy. I trust in your love. This is what God is waiting for. He's waiting for us to begin to live this abundant life. And this is the great honor for the soul who lives in my divine will, whether she thinks, speaks, or loves, my most holy divine will takes it on the commitment to filter whatever she does through its most pure light. And this is necessary so that in everything that the soul does, there may be no distinction from what we triune God do, but all things may hold hands in their likeness. It's to be one with God. So you say to Jesus, I'm not gonna eat anymore humanly. Jesus, we're going to eat in your eating. Jesus, eat in my eating. I'm not going to go to the counter and say, I want a sandwich to go. We're going to say, Jesus, what do we want? What would you like? Look at all this on the, what would you like? Never do anything alone again. That's not the divine will. It's always to begin to live this abundant life, to trust in God, believe in God, hope in God, have confidence in God. This is what God is asking. So he says very, very clearly. In everything she does, there will be no distinction, but we do, God and now the human and God, Jesus, but all things may hold hands together in their likeness. 5:16, 11:8, 19:23. Now, beloved daughter of mine, wanting to make you of you a more perfect image of myself and to give rise to a new, listen to this, a new divine sanctity. This is what I mentioned this before, being at the canonization of St. Honorable de Francia. I was 30 feet from the Pope, and the Pope said, now we are going to live a new and divine way of holiness. That's what Jesus is saying here. Wanting to make you a more perfect image of myself and to give rise to a new sanctity, so noble, so divine, that is the fiat voluntas tua on earth as it is in heaven. I, God, want to centralize in you, Louisa, and the little children of the Holy Divine Will, all the interior states that have been up until now the path of human sanctity. Now it's going to be divine sanctity. God has taken control of this. And as you suffer them and move on, doing this in my divine will, I, God, give completion to them. I, God, crown them. I, God, embellish them. I, God, place on them the divine seal, the stamp that it belongs to God, not to humanity. See, he's sharing with us his divinity, image and likeness. And God wants to begin now, not after we die. That's why he said, I rose from the dead. He tells Louisa, I rose from the dead so that people can rise from this human will before they die. This seal is important. This stamp is important. It's the, if you want to say, it's the stamp of the ticket. The conductor comes in and punches the hole in the ticket. That's what God is doing. 5:16, 3:2, 19:24. So my daughter, only those souls who shall have preserved intact within themselves the purpose of creation shall be my true legitimate children. Only those souls who have preserved intact within themselves the purpose of creation, what is that? To be in God's image and likeness, will be my true legitimate children. That's what God is offering to us. By doing my divine will, they have preserved in themselves the pure blood of their celestial Father, who has given them all the features of his divine likeness, and therefore it shall be very easy to recognize them as our legitimate children. We don't know what we're going to be like, Scripture says. But when we see him, we will be like him. They will be our true legitimate children. Our divine will shall preserve them noble, pure, fresh, all love for the God who made them. And as our children, who have always been in our most holy divine will, who have never given life to their own human will. See, this is our repairing and redoing. This is what we do every day. What's going to happen is we're going to see that everything in our life has been repaired, redone, as if it never happened. And as our children who have always been in our, that's what we're going to find. At the end of her life, Louisa said, I'm so sorry I didn't do everything in your divine will, Lord. And Jesus says, Louisa, you've been with me from the beginning. I have taught you how to repair and redo everything. You've never been out of my divine will. That's what we're going to see. This is why the evil one's going to be so furious, so embarrassed. Everything that he has done has been a failure. God wins. Our children, who have always been in our holy divine will, who have never given life to their own human will, shall be as though first to be created by us, Triune God, giving us, Triune God, the glory and the honor, the purpose for which all things were created. It doesn't matter when you were born, 2,000 years after redemption. What matters is that we live in the divine will to repair and redo in the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future. So as Jesus says, so it will look as if Adam never sinned. Why did God give Lucifer 100? You want 100 years? It's yours. Why? Because he knew he was going to win. God was going to win. It didn't matter how much time he gave him. Do what you want. The kingdom is coming. The kingdom is going to be manifest. And my children, I'm not going to lose one of them, Jesus says. My children are going to be with me for all eternity. You can try as much as you want, but you're not going to win. God is going to win. This is what he has done. 5:16, 3:13, 19:24. My daughter, how beautiful and delightful it is to see the creature live in our divine will. See, God is finally, he says, I see Louisa living in the divine will the way Adam did before the fall. Finally, how beautiful and delightful it is to see you, Louisa, live in our divine will. You, Louisa, you have lives of our reflections, and while living of our reflections, you absorb into yourself the likeness of her God. So Louisa is embellished. Louisa is enriched. Louisa is expanded so much as to be able to take everyone and bring everything to us, Triune God. That's our job. One with Louisa. She's done this. Now we link ourselves to Louisa. Why? To do what she has done. What Jesus did, what Mary did, the life of the new Adam and of the new Eve through the newborn Louisa. So she, Louisa, draws so much love from us, Triune God, as to be able to love us for everyone, past, present, and future. When you do your prayers in the divine will, what happens is God hears everyone who ever lived, ever was conceived with your voice. You're praying. Your voice is echoing in every soul, past, present, and future. And we find everything in Louisa. And now the soul is linked to Louisa. All our love issued in creation, all our sanctification, all our contentment in the return of all our divine works. Our divine love towards this soul, Louisa, and the soul is linked to Louisa, who lives in our will, is such and so great that what we are by nature, the soul becomes by virtue of our will. Jesus by nature, Our Lady by grace. Now, God, the soul who lives in our divine will, this is so great that we by nature, now the soul by virtue of our divine will. God has got everything planned. And some saints have said that what God is going to do is even going to astonish the Blessed Mother. Again, this is what God is doing in our time. We, Triune God, pour everything into her. Not even one fiber of hers do we leave out that is not filled with what is divine, ours. We fill Luisa so much, and the soul is linked to Luisa so much, to the point of overflowing, forming divine rivers, divine oceans, divine seas around the soul. And into these seas we descend to amuse ourselves, and we admire our divine work with divine love, feeling fully glorified. That's Jesus is saying that. Fully glorified. Therefore, my daughter, live in the most pure light of my divine will if you want your Jesus to repeat again what he spoke in creating Adam. By virtue of our divine will, let us make this soul in our image and likeness. That's what God wants to do with us. That's what God has planned to do with us. This is astonishing. It's just astonishing. Volume 16, 5, 13, 19, 24. This is why I say, Jesus says, that the soul who does my divine will is my amusement and my contentment. On the other hand, to amuse myself, I, God, keep the brush of my divine will in my hands. And as the soul dives into my divine will, I touch her up. And I, God, amuse myself by impressing on this soul with a brushstroke of mine one more shade of my divine beauty, one more shade of my divine love, one more shade of my divine sanctity, and of all of my divine qualities. Jesus says he's going to make of the children, the little children of the holy divine will, his divine masterpiece. That's his promise. He says to Luisa, get out of the way. I'm going to do this. I'm the artist. I'm God. Get out of my way. Let me accomplish what I have planned. That's the fiat. That's the fiat mihi. Let it be done to me as you say. That's the fiat voluntas tua. May your kingdom reign in me, in this dust on earth as it is in heaven. That's what God's waiting for. He's waiting for us to get out of the way so he can accomplish what he has planned. How do we get out of God's way? Fiat. No more worry, no more fear, no more anxiety, no more complaints, no more negativity, no more doubts, no more sin. And little by little, this is happening. And as that happens, God goes, good. Finally, finally. And I not only have Luisa living in my divine will, but I have other little children. So he says this very, very clearly. So for me, being in Luisa and being in heaven are the same. Being on earth, being in Luisa and being in heaven are the same thing. There's no difference. And I find the same adoration of the divine persons, my divine will, my divine love in Luisa. And hopefully that will begin in us very shortly. And since there is always something that can be given to the creature, I, God, now act as a skillful painter, and I portray my divine image in her soul. He's waiting for us to get out of the way. One of the words Jesus uses to Luisa in Italian is enough, basta, enough. And I've said this before, but my grandmother was very Italian, and I always thought she was swearing at me. She would say, enough, enough, enough. But it was God is going to say to us, stop, let me begin to do this. I've been waiting 6,000 years, and I have chosen you, I predestined you to live at this time to bring about a new beginning, a new and divine way of holiness, as Pope St. John Paul II said. What did he say? Get ready for the third millennium. Get ready for the glory of the church, the new springtime of mankind. What did Padre Pio say about Luisa? Luisa is a second son. What's the book from the Vatican on Luisa? the son of my divine will, S-U-N of my divine will, Luisa Picaretto. Padre Pio says, as the sun goes down in the west, the new sun comes up, there is no more darkness. That's what's coming. Why is everything falling apart worldwide? It's not falling apart. God is getting everything in order. He's saying to each person, what do you want? What do you want? I have to give you what you want. As Our Lady said, time has now come to an end. It's not the end of the world. It's the end of this era. The kingdom is coming. So Our Lady says the same thing. The fire that's coming is the Sacred Heart of Jesus, the Immaculate Heart of Mary. The fire of God's love coming upon the earth to consume the world in love is coming. For those that don't want the new Adam and the new Eve, that fire will be wailing and grinding of teeth. Those that want it, it's going to be ecstasy. Can't wait for what God is going to do. It's going to be glory. And he's doing it. As you read, you're anticipating what's coming. As you read, you become more aware that it's now, not 15 years from now. I had one person say that to me in the prayer group. She eventually left. But she says, you're acting as if Jesus is coming tomorrow. I go, yeah, I'm hoping he's coming tomorrow. I mean, it would be great. Let's get the show on the road. Let's bring the kingdom of God on earth as in heaven. And people have left the group because they say, you know, you're giving us false hope. What's false hope? Jesus says, I'm returning for the souls who are eagerly awaiting me. He's returning for us. Why? We spend time in front of the Blessed Sacrament. We go to Holy Mass as often as we can. We pray the rosary. We wear the scapular. We attend First Saturday Masses. We love Jesus and Mary. And now Jesus and Mary has given us the newborn, Luisa. And what we're learning is how to live this universal life before we die. This what's coming is so great. 5:16, 5:24:24. And when after I created everything, I, Jesus, wanted to create Adam, I did nothing but repeat the fiat as though needing him with my own divine will. And then I added, let us make man in our image and likeness. So by virtue of our divine will, Adam shall maintain our divine likeness, whole within himself, and preserve our image, beautiful and intact. That's what's coming back to mankind. 5:17, 7:16, 19:24. My daughter, in creating Adam, I, God, infused the soul in him with my breath, that rule of God. Every time you take a breath, think of saying to Jesus, breathe in me as you breathed into Adam. Fill me with that rule of God, the breath of God. Don't just breathe. Breathe. Wanting to infuse in him in the innermost part of our interior, our divine will, that would also bring him all the particles of our divinity that as a creature he could contain to the extent of making Adam of in our image. But Adam, ungrateful, wanted to break off from our divine will. And even though Adam still had his soul, the human will that took the place of the divine will obscured Adam, infected Adam, and rendered all the divine particles idle to the extent of disordering Adam completely and of maiming Adam. So 4,000 years later, Jesus comes to earth, the new Adam. Mary comes to earth, the new Eve. And what happens? They give to mankind the universal life again, the Catholic life again. God redeemed us, Our Lady co-redeemed with Christ on Calvary. She was with Jesus on Calvary. And now 2,000 years later, Jesus says, time now to wrap up the show. He sends his mother, tells Bruno, hey, time has now come to an end. That was 1947, 40 days after Luisa died. I love this. When Jesus rose from the dead, 40 days later, he ascended into heaven. When Luisa died, 40 days after she died, Our Lady descended to earth. And what does she say? She's holding a book. Give you a hint. To me, it's the book of heaven. I know she says, I'm the Our Lady of Revelation. But what's being revealed now is the book of heaven. from heaven. And what's happening now? She says to us, get ready, get ready, get ready for the new heavens and the new earth. Wait till you see what's coming. You're going to be astonished. You're going to go, God had this all planned. He had this all planned. He knew exactly what he wanted and what's coming. Wait till you see the new heavens and the new earth. What God has planned is going to knock your socks off. Are you wearing socks? So anyways, it's a new beginning that's coming. You can't believe. And all Jesus is asking of us, are you willing to begin to live this abundant life? And all we say is fiat, fiat, Lord, fiat. Volume 17, 7, 16, 19, 24. My daughter, in creating Adam, I infused in him with my breath, wanting to infuse in him in the innermost part of our interior, our will, that would also bring him all the particles of our divinity, and as creature he could contain to the extent of making him in our image. But man, ungrateful, wanted to break off from our divine will. And even though he still had his soul, the human will that took the place of the divine obscured him, infected him, and rendered all the divine particles idle to the extent of disordering him completely and of maiming him. We're crippled. Volume 17, 725, 1924. My daughter, the last act of my life was to lay myself on the cross and to stay there until I died with my arms open, unable to move or to oppose what they wanted to do to me. I, Jesus says, was the true portrait. I, Jesus says, was the living image of the soul who lives not of the human, but of the divine. This is why the cross is so important. This is why the cross is so important. If you haven't meditated on the cross, you haven't even begun to be Catholic. You haven't even begun to live this universal life. That's why what Jesus says, the souls who meditate on the hours of my passion, he says, are saving the world. And every soul that gets to purgatory, Jesus says, is there because of the hours of the passion. And then he says, every soul that gets to heaven is there because of the hours of the passion. God's leaving it up to us. Do you want your family in heaven? I mean, I'm not worried about my family. Jesus said, you do what I want and I'll do what you want. And it's not that I'm not worrying about my family because they're saints. God is going to take care of it. I trust in him. I'm confident in him. If I was worried, fearful, anxious, complaining, and negative, the Lord says, you know, what can I do? I mean, you don't even trust me. What does he say in sacred scripture? He says to every person that was healed, you're healed because of your faith. Because of your faith. In what? In Jesus. He's our Lord. He's our Master. He's our King. He's our Savior. He's our God. He's our all. And when we read the divine will, we fall more in love with him. When we read the divine will, we fall more in love with our Lady, the new Adam and the new Eve. God is getting us ready for what? The kingdom of God in us on earth as it is in heaven. Jesus said, the kingdom of God is within you. And now he's given us the way and the how it's going to be done. And the more that we focus on the way and the how, the happier we're going to be. Why? Because God's happy in us. So Jesus says, so the divine will gave a place to everyone in my arms. His arms are wide open. It keeps searching for souls who do not move in the human will, but only in the divine. That's what God is teaching us. He's searching for us to be out of the human and enter into the divine, who oppose nothing. The divine sanctity of my divine will is not subject to intermittent phases, but must associate itself with a continuous act of the eternal will of God that never, ever ceases, but is always acting, always operating, always triumphant, always loves and never stops. How much our Lord loves us that, first of all, he's asked us to be baptized Catholic. And then he gives us his mother as our mother. And then what does he do? He now says, now I'm going to give you the gift of gifts, the prodigy of prodigies, that which I have held back since the beginning of time. And now he says, at the end of time, I'm going to give you, they give this to you. You have to remember, Our Lady, she teaches us very, very clearly what God has planned. She is the one who is trying to get all her children into the arms of her son. Remember that image, how much do you love me? And Jesus goes, this much. Our Lord loves us. He's got plans. So he says to us, the sanctity in my divine will brings into the soul the mark of the operating of her God. In this continuous love, the continuous preservation of all things created by him, he never changes it and is immutable. The one who is subject to changing belongs to the earth and not of heaven. So again, I can always tell the souls who are living in the divine will, who are striving to live in the divine will, because they're joyful. When I meet a soul that's, I know they haven't read. They haven't listened to Jesus. Jesus says, I will stand right beside you. I'll touch your mind that you will understand it. I will touch your heart that you will love it. He wants us to begin to live his life. So he's saying to us, get out of my way. Stop living in your misery. Come into my heart, my mind, my soul, Jesus says. Come in so that you can be one with me as I planned in the beginning. Immutable, never changing. One who is subject to changing belongs to the earth, not of heaven. Changing is of the human will, not of the divine will. Interrupting good is that of the creature. Interrupting God is that of the creature, not of the creator. Therefore, all this would be unbefitting for the divine sanctity of living in my divine will if you change, because it contains the insignia, the image, the sanctity of God. What is God calling you to? Is this another thing to be part of, a religious thing? No, it's to change the face of the earth. It's to bring the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. This is not another holy thing. Somebody said to me once, he said, we don't need Louisa. We don't need Louisa. I've got my saint. No, this is not about another saint. This is about bringing the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. This is wrapping it up. The show is going to wrap up. Why? The kingdom is coming. When the kingdom of God comes on earth as it is in heaven, what's going to happen at that point is that the evil one who's been banished from heaven will be banished from earth. What does that mean? No more sorrow, no more sadness, no more sin, no more death. What do you think's coming? Oh, that's going to happen a couple thousand years from now. If you've listened to what Jesus and Mary have been saying in this past century, it's not a couple of years. It's not a thousand years from now. It's soon. Soon. And who did he predestine to live at this time? Not St. Francis, not St. Clair. He predestined us to live at this time. Why? This is our mission. This is the mission of missions, the apostle of apostolates. The boat's taken off. The train's ready to leave. The plane's on the runway. God's ready to move. And he says to us, are you ready? Now, I always thought when I heard time has come to an end, oh, well, at least I'll be able to make a good confession before that. You know, time's coming to an end. Okay, I'm going to run to church. No, when time comes to an end, it's over. That's where you are for all eternity. That's why it's best to be in the state of grace now, continuously, because it's going to happen very, very, very soon. And God's given us, we're on overtime, basically. John Paul II said, get ready for the new heavens and the new earth. Get ready for the glory of the church, the new springtime of mankind. That's what's coming. Get ready. So we'll end with a blessing. May the blood that flowed upon the wood of this cross free us from our human will, that we live on God's holy divine will always. We ask this in Jesus' name, under the mantle of Mary, through the intercession of Louisa, and we pray that this prayer becomes God's command. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And remember, this was part one. Part two is always greater than part one because it's the summary of everything that God taught Louisa. So God bless you. Happy Feast of the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Consecrate yourself, consecrate your family to Our Lady, and trust in her, trust in our Lord. Great things are in store.